Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Seen a lot of talk this last week as the Dodgers yesterday introduced Blake Snell, and they have been in on the rumors for other top free agents, including Juan Soto, Corbin Burnes even. There's really no one the Dodgers haven't been connected to, essentially, this offseason.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is, of course, well within the rules of Major League Baseball. Dodgers are not doing anything illegal.
Nope.
Unethical. I know people complain about the deferred money, but it's not against the rules. They're not going to go bankrupt because of it. I think that's one thing that everyone... Oh, when that bill comes due, you know, that $1 billion in deferred money, you're toast. They're setting it aside right now. That's part of the rules. They have to set it aside. So it's not like they're going to get to 2046 and realize, oh, we spent all of our money. The deferred money's gone. It's got to stay in the account until then. So it's not like they're going to ruin their franchise by deferring the money. It's just some accounting. Well, you know, theatrics and, you know, smoke and mirrors that they're doing, but they're still paying the money to the players.
Well, and if they do, they'll be bailed out by Major League Baseball like they were in 2011 with $150 million. Right?
I don't think that that's going to happen.
We should all be so lucky. That was not that long ago, my friend.
No, but quite a different ownership group.
Yeah, a little bit. I saw somebody yesterday goes, anybody can put together a Guggenheim and just go buy a baseball team. And I'm like, buddy, if it was that simple, I literally saw a Dodger fan tweet, anybody can put together a company with $350 billion market cap. Anybody can do that. Like, I know some rich guys, but that's a different level. That's a different level entirely. Not everybody has a Guggenheim.
I think the question, though, that people are asking, is it bad for baseball if the Dodgers go out and use their advantages to build their super team and sign Juan Soto and Corbin Burnes?
I don't think it is. As much as it pains me to say, I don't think it is, because at the end of the day, you still got to win the games, and God bless, think about it, man. Close your eyes for a second and think about what it would feel like to beat that team, which, by the way, we said yesterday, no matter who they get, they're going to lose 60 games, roughly, 50, maybe 50, right? We've seen some absolute juggernauts. We've seen some juggernaut Dodger teams win 111 games and lose in the first round.
What's the saying? Every team wins 60. Every team loses 60. The season really comes down to how do you play in those 42 games.
They're just, at the end of the day, like, they're going to be a really good team, but they are just human beings. And some of their players are getting a year older. And you still have to go out and win the games. I don't necessarily look at it as good or bad for baseball. I look at it as a team that would be really fun to be a fan of. As they're going out signing the best players.
It's frustrating for other fan bases in the National League West that you don't feel like you can compete at least for a division title.
Yeah, on paper, certainly.
On the same footing.
On paper.
Padres came close this last year. The Giants actually did it a few years ago when they had a season that you couldn't even dream of having, 107 wins out of nowhere. Fantastic. But if you're waiting for that to happen, you're probably going to be waiting a very long time.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, has there ever been a team in sports that was just too good that ruined their league? And I don't think that's ever really happened.
It's different, though, because, you know, it makes what, like, the Patriots did, it makes it really, based on the salary cap ramifications that they had to operate under, it really showed you, like, what a good coach and a good quarterback and a good system can do.
Yeah, right? Good players, but so many players were homegrown.
Oh, yeah.
Julian Edelman. 100%. Gronk, and all the support staff.
And guys, like, it's funny, when the Patriots went out and they're like, you know what, we need to get Tom Brady a couple star receivers here. They didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, they got Randy Moss. He was great, but they didn't win the Super Bowl with Randy Moss.
They won, what, 6 rings with Tom Brady in New England, and he won the 7th in Tampa.
But
that was less than half of the Super Bowls, Chiefs, you know, while he was there.
Chiefs are on a nice run right now. They're operating within the same systems as everybody else, et cetera, et cetera. You know, look, you've had teams with great players that haven't won the Super Bowl.
Even like the Miami Heat super team.
They kind of... They lost to
the
Mavericks.
Celtics really started the big three trend, and the Miami Heat, they get the credit for the big three with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, but they went 2-4.
Yeah, they lost
in
to the
finals.
They lost to the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing against the Dallas Mavericks. They were great. Dirk was amazing, but you had LeBron James and
the
Dwayne
Warriors
Wade.
Dynasty. They lost to the Cavs.
Correct. Like, so I
think you really would have to be like older than us to find a perspective of a team that was too dominant. Like the Boston Celtics from 1957 to 1969 won every single title except...
Give me the years again.
1957 to 1969.
12 years.
And it was Boston won in 57. They lost in the finals in 58. They won in 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66... The 76ers won in 67, and the Celtics came back, won in 68 and 69.
The Bulls repeating the three-peat, that was one where you looked at it and went, yeah, I mean, they're...
I don't remember that being bad for basketball.
Oh, it was just the best.
I remember it being pretty good
but
for basketball.
But they didn't, like, lose to the Jazz and then go sign Karl Malone.
Correct. Like, that's exactly right. I mean, they always added, like, good fringe pieces,
sure.
Certainly.
That's what championship teams do,
That's
though.
Right. And these guys aren't fringe pieces that the Dodgers are adding. But again, it's 162. It's all of the pressure now. And Blake Snell talked about it a little bit yesterday about the pressure of pitching in LA and that it's a good situation. And yeah, I mean, look.
Maybe a better example is college basketball. UCLA. 1964 through 1975. They won all but two titles in that run. UCLA. Texas Western, UCLA,
wow.
NC State, UCLA. And in that stretch when Bill Walton was on the team, they didn't even lose for years. I mean, they played, what was it, like 3 years straight.
Irish got them.
Without losing a game before they lost to Notre Dame. Was that good or bad for college basketball? Because we look back at it now
and go, wow,
as like the golden era, amazing that they could do that.
But if you were at another school,
yeah,
you're
I'd
like,
imagine
this sucks.
If you were at USC or somewhere else, you know, this is not fun at all.
No, I mean,
we have no chance of beating this team. They're going to win every game and they're going to win the title. Is that good for drama? It didn't have TV ratings and stuff, weren't nearly a thing back then when it, you know, came to live college sports.
You had a coach that everybody in America wanted to play for.
Right.
That's what you had. And so, yeah, look, and I think the Dodgers are an organization right now. And in my youth, The Yankees were that organization. You wanted to go play for the New York Yankees. They don't have that cachet anymore. There really is only one team right now that people go, oh, yeah, I want to be a part of it. Blake was that guy. He said it yesterday. He's like, I saw what they're doing. I want to be a part of it. And, yeah, I mean, is it a little Kevin Durant-ish? A little bit. But, A, you got paid. You're playing a first-class organization. So,
I know you guys probably talked about this last week when I was out. But, like, do you blame a player at all for signing now with the Dodgers like that?
I don't blame a player for signing anywhere. I really don't. I mean, I
respect a player if they want to go somewhere else
and
though,
try to beat
the Dodgers.
Sure.
That gives, in my mind, that, oh, all right, that's pretty cool that you want to do that.
But like, do you hold it against them if they go, this is my best chance to get a ring? That's the only thing I don't have. I got two Cy Youngs. No. I don't have that ring.
So. I mean, it's fun to make fun of Kevin Durant, but he's also one of the most elite players. Yeah. And Blake Snell's one of the most elite pitchers. So you say it kind of tongue-in-cheek about, like, oh, had to join the super team. So, but again, it's Junior says, it's their career.
The Dodgers have dominated the NL West for over a decade, but only have the one full season World Series title. If we wake up 10 years from now and they've won 8 or 9 more World Series,
I won't be allowed.
Then we can start talking about, okay, you've kind of broken baseball if the Dodgers win it every year. But, you know, history tells us that's probably not going to happen.
And again, man, as stacked as that team was all season, they hit their struggles. They had their struggles in the playoffs even. They got... some breaks went their way, certainly. Aaron Judge decides to drop the first fly ball he's dropped all season. The first one in that inning. Anthony Rizzo doesn't charge a ball. Things could have been different. They weren't. The Dodgers persevered and did a great job at advanced scouting and all of that. They earned that World Series championship, man. They did.
I do have one example, and I was actually thinking about this one, and our friend Craig Elston just texted me and said, no, you are absolutely right about this one. I will share it with you. First, I want to throw out the numbers for Tacon Woods, 833-288-0973. Get online. We're about 2 minutes, 833-288-0973. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. I did remember this as I was growing up here in San Diego. The San Diego Shockers were so dominant in indoor soccer. They actually won 2 5-peats. They won 5 in a row.
Wow.
They lost, and they won 5 more in a row twice. I remember going for one for the thumb, their 10th title, because they had rings on 9 fingers going for the 10th. And Craig says, you know, being a big soccer's guy as he was, that they were the only team that did well. They sold out all the games.
Yep.
You know, Ron Fowler, you know, owned the team. Sold out the Sports Arena. Everyone showed up. Rest of the league could care less because it ruined the league because the Sockers were too good, won all the titles, and none of the other teams cared or even bothered trying because they knew they couldn't beat or compete with the San Diego Sockers. They were just too good.
I obviously hope that doesn't happen to the game of baseball, not just because it's the Dodgers, but just because it's not great for the game. But what they're doing isn't necessarily wrong. I hate it.
This isn't like Liv and PGA where you're like, wow, you are just chasing the money. You're blood money. You don't care anything like that. Unfortunately, we have to be honest with ourselves, I think, and say, like, the Dodgers are the gold standard in Major League
right
Baseball.
Right now, 100%.
The organization itself, they are the gold standard. Well, you can't fault a guy for signing there, especially when they're going to throw that kind of money at you.
You see what Blake said yesterday about how they take care of their stars there. Max Muncy said yesterday, he was on an interview, and he said, so what's the how do you feel about the Dodgers adding Arenado? And he goes, as long as I get to stay, I could care less, right? People want to stay there. They take care of their talent. Who takes care of them?
All right, I see some callers on the line. Let's get to today's game.
Why are you laughing?
See if you can take care of Tacon Woods.
It's time for Tacon Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Tacon Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. All right, let's get a couple of choices here. Is this Danny? Danny, you calling in for Tacon Woods?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. If you can beat or tie Woods, we'll put you into the drawing for our grand prize 2-night getaway at the Westgate Las Vegas. 2 tickets to the Soul of Motown show. musical tribute celebrating Motown legends, and a $150 food and beverage credit. The Westgate, check out their $70 million in room renovations. Just go to westgateresorts.com. All right, here are your category choices for Take on Woods. We still have prog rock, progressive rock bands. We got That's Not True, a lie in each song title, the word lie. And we've got our new category, Following in the Footsteps, five artists who are all the sons or daughters of famous musicians. So, prog rock, That's Not True, or Following in the Footsteps, Danny?
Let's go Following in the Footsteps.
Go with the new one. All right, today's game features five artists who are all the son or daughter of a famous musician. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five questions as you can. First question is our two-second song. You need to identify both that artist and the song title to score the point. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's still time left in the 60 seconds. Danny, are you ready to play?
Let's do this.
All right. Listen closely. Start with our two-second song, 60 seconds on the clock. The category, Following in the Footsteps. Time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Danny. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
Which artist rose to fame in the 90s as the lead singer, guitarist, and primary songwriter for the Wallflowers?
Jacob Dylan.
Correct. Which former child actress came in like a wrecking ball for a musical career that included hits like Party in the USA?
Miley Cyrus.
Correct. Which artist broke through in 1990 with the hit Bailamos and Solo Me Importas 2, a.k.a. Be With You?
Mark Anthony.
Incorrect. Credited as the inspiration for the songs Hey Jude and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which artist had some minor hits of his own in the 80s with songs including Too Late for Goodbyes and Stick Around?
Pass.
Go back to our two-second song. It's an oldie.
Nancy Sinatra, Booster Baker.
Correct. Credited as the inspiration for the songs Hey Jude and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. All right, we ran out of time there, but you get three. Good job. I love that Nancy Sinatra song with the bass. You got Jacob Dylan of the Wallflowers and Miley Cyrus. It was Enrique Iglesias, Bailamos, and Solo Me Importas 2, son of Julio Iglesias, and then Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son. That was a tough one for the last one. That was the inspiration for Hey Jude and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. All right, Danny scores locked in. Woods returns to the studio. He is unaware of the category, but he gets the same five questions in the same 60 seconds. Time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Danny.
Pass.
Which artist rose to fame in the 90s as the lead singer, guitarist, and primary songwriter for the Wallflowers?
Jacob Dylan.
Correct. Which former child actress came in like a wrecking ball for a musical career?
Miley Cyrus.
Correct. Which artist broke through with 1999's Bailamos and Solo Me Importas 2, a.k.a. Ooh. Be With You?
Pass.
Credited as the inspiration for the songs Hey Jude and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which artist had some minor hits of his own in the 1980s with songs including...
Julian Lennon.
Correct. Go back to our two-second song.
Is that Rainy Day Women, Bob Dylan?
It is not. Which artist broke through with 1999's hit Bailamos and Solo Me Importas 2, a.k.a. Be With You?
What's the category? I'm losing my mind.
Tricky, isn't it?
That's the last one I can guess.
It is the last one you can guess.
Category would definitely help.
Jacob Dylan, Miley Cyrus, Julian Lennon. All the sons and daughters of famous musicians. That was Enrique Iglesias. And the one you didn't get, one of my favorite oldies. These Boots Are Made for Walking by Nancy Sinatra.
Damn it.
3-3. We have another tie.
What the hell?
We are 0-0-3 this week.
What in the FIFA is going on here?
Danny, good for you. You have qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. Another tie.
You get to qualify.
This one was at least a little bit different. You got Julian Lennon. He got Nancy Sinatra. But it ended up 3-3. Anyway, neither of you got Enrique Iglesias.
What do we get for $10? $10, anything you want. So good.
Following in the Footsteps, that one was called.
Man, just an idiot. Just can't break through. Can't get the last out. Just give up the tying run. This is terrible.
Don't Do This is coming up next. I am. You know what? I'm gonna throw this out there as a do this. A brave soul, actually, a few brave souls willing to do something to raise awareness for a good cause, and we can
very
talk about
brave,
that. Very, very brave.
And we may have some, not we, but we all may be hearing some pretty explosive audio coming soon. Did you guys hear this story about O.J. Simpson's former bodyguard? Holy smokes!
I did,
but.
But I think
did you see the update.
I think it got debunked.
The don't do this might be on TMZ or
damn it.
Yeah, again, I think for the second straight day.
TMZ.
We'll let you know. Now we'll let you know what it's all about. Coming up next on 97.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Woods, I'm afraid you might be getting the first don't do this for not reading the update.
I saw yesterday.
It was such a titillating story.
Oh, it was as titillating as one could be. I was, in fact, very titillated when I saw this. New twist in the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. Police claim they have a reason to believe they have a recording of O.J. Simpson confessing to the murders. They had one of his former bodyguards had a thumb drive, and they were told, hey, O.J. is on here admitting to the double murder of Nicole and Ron. And that's where it ended for me. But apparently there was an update. LAPD says they have accessed the thumb drive and determined there was no confession by O.J. Simpson. It was just Irock Avelli talking to himself.
And the update came 3 hours after the original story was posted.
Yeah, that's a great tease, and the payoff. Yeah, I've got recorded proof. OJ,
yeah,
admitting.
Here it is,
admitting to the murder.
Sir, that's just you.
That's
that is literally just you.
You are in your car talking to yourself.
Was he trying to do like OJ voice?
I did it.
Like, does anybody? I don't understand.
Hey, Twitter world.
Hello, Twitter world. It makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Yeah. You know what? I'm still really not in doubt about
And I'm not either.
Who did it? I don't need the proof.
It would be eerie, I think, to hear him.
You just want to shove it. You want to be able to shove it in the face of all the people who still think that O.J. was innocent. That's the only reason.
Are they out there?
There are still people
out
there.
Who's still out there that is willing to
die on that hill?
Believe that. Yeah. I don't know.
That he was set up or something?
Yeah. Evidence was planted.
Right. Oh. Yeah, TMZ. Ran with that story. If you're going to run with that story, I think you want to listen to the audio thing first. If you have access to the thumb drive, get it, listen to it, and then put it out. And by then, you don't even need to put it out. Nobody even needs to know.
All right, I love when you can turn a don't do this into a do this.
I like the combo myself.
So this is a combo. The don't do this actually occurred almost a decade ago, way back in 2016. This is a blast from the past at the NFL Combine. You guys remember Chris Jones went on and has had a really good career, all-pro defensive end, still with the Kansas City Chiefs. Back at his combine, though, in his 40-yard dash, you know, the big moment of the combine, apparently he said, you know, he grabbed some free, they, you know, had a lot of free swag from, I think it was Adidas, you know, kind of the shorts, but whatever was, you know, wasn't fitting quite right, and while he was running, his popped out of the shorts on live television in front of everybody. He like scrambled to the end of the dash, like fell down to try to cover himself and hide himself. He still ended up with the fifth fastest time of any defensive lineman. That's how good and talented he is. But he definitely wasn't at his best. A really embarrassing moment in front of a lot of people. Well, Chris Jones is one of the celebrities who is going to be appearing this week, this weekend, on Fox's special, The Real Full Monty. When he and James Vanderbeek, who we were talking about yesterday, who is suffering from colorectal cancer, and a few other celebs are going to do like the movie and a male Full Monty strip review on Fox, a 2-hour special. So they learn the dance moves, they learn how to do the strip tease, and then apparently they bear it all in front of the studio
like
audience.
How much is all?
All. 100% all. Now, I'm sure you won't see it all on network television, but I would think if you're in the audience and you're there, you see the whole thing. And they're doing it to raise awareness for testicular, prostate, and colorectal cancer. One of the reasons why James Vanderbeek is doing this is to, you know, raise money and awareness. But my question to you guys is, under what circumstances, if any, would you take your clothes off in a public setting in front of a lot of people like that?
If my wife wanted to make love to me at Petco Park or something.
You would?
Yeah.
You would take off your clothes?
Yeah, like if she pulled me in a bathroom, she couldn't.
That's not in front of people.
I mean, he means like on the mound.
I mean like on a stage, like on a mound. Like, yes.
On a stage.
On a stage in front of an audience that's watching you.
I think I'm good.
Do I have to just get naked?
I mean, is there an amount of... Yeah, you just get naked.
Or do like a full Monty, like strip
dance. Do a dance, whatever.
Tease.
I'd be more embarrassed dance than I would to just walk out in a banana hammock.
Birthday suit. No. Full Monty.
Oh, full.
Full Monty. Totally new.
No, I'm good. Nobody wants to
There's no
that.
Amount of money that you would do it for. Charity, good cause. I mean, these guys are doing it for a good cause.
That's true.
Don't know what they're getting paid.
Why do you mean nude to give money to charity?
I don't know. I mean, it's brave, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
It's really brave to do
it's
it.
It's weird.
How much
can weird...
you give extra money not to see us nude?
It's very strange.
If you don't donate right now, we're all going to get naked.
I mean, when you think about it, what is going to happen to you? I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? People are going to, obviously, you're not going to look great.
No, you're not.
You know you're not going to be at your best.
You know you're not going to be at your best.
And people, you know.
You ever go to the doctor?
Laugh, snicker, whatever.
Yeah.
Is it really going to hurt you? I mean, what's...
Yes.
Why would it hurt you?
Then, why do we wear clothes? Shouldn't we just walk around nude all the time?
Well, you know, it would be cold if we didn't have them on. And it'd be inappropriate, obviously, if you didn't have them on. But if, let's say, if someone offered you $1 million... And all you had to do was walk on stage in front of 500 people completely naked.
Tax-free.
Done. $1 million, right?
Yeah, I do it.
I mean, there's nothing. There's no harm. There's no pain involved.
No.
It's
walk
just...
out. How long do I sit?
A
couple twirl?
A minute. You're out there for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Standing in front of everybody.
I do it for a minute.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
I would.
How much work and prep would you want to have?
Lots.
Time. You know, to lose some weight,
I'm out
work
back
out,
doing extra push-ups, yeah, just in case.
Grooming,
sucking your gut.
Know. They have professionals, I would assume, who can make you look as good as possible in this situation. I'm guessing all these celebs are getting the full.
They're going to be all greased up,
makeup,
and,
grease,
yeah,
trimming, whatever's necessary to make this work. But yeah, you
do it for a mil, yeah.
Right?
You would too,
absolutely.
So would you? We'd all do it.
$500,000.
Yeah, all right. Do it for $500,000.
$100,000. No. Okay. So we do have. There is a.
Hey, listen. Somebody wants to show me the money. Put me to the test. I'm down to do it.
Yeah, I'm not doing it for $100 though.
No. It's six figures.
It would have to be a significant
and it's cash
amount of money.
It's cash. And tax free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it for $100,000. Have to pay the government $40,000. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
But it would be the longest minute of your life. I mean, think about when you've taken your clothes off in front of, you know, your wife or your girlfriend. It's never that great. It's always like kind of surreptitious and like, you know what I mean? Like you never run in. You're like, look who's here. She's like, never mind.
Go away.
She's like, can you get me another cocktail, please? Yeah, you'd have to be. I'd also need a few cocktails, I think, before I would do that.
Now, there are certain people who are, you know, streakers, exhibitionists.
Yeah, exhibitionists. And I'm not really
an exhibitionist. But I definitely do not have that gene.
I don't, not in public. In my house, I'm an exhibitionist, but not out in public. I have no, I wear sweatshirts and stuff all the time. Like, I'm covered up.
We did see you in a diaper.
Yeah.
Like the Corona
six
cave.
Pack.
Oh, if I was shredded, I'd never have clothes on.
You wouldn't,
I would do this show
You wouldn't
shirtless.
Own a t-shirt. Yeah.
You'd see a tank top. I'd be Pat McAfee, except with a ripped body. Jeez, what's it? 46 degrees outside. You're in a tank top. Yeah. That's good charity. It's just a weird thing to do, I think. It's a weird idea, in my opinion.
It makes some sense. I mean, you're talking
about... Is it just men?
It's just men.
Enjoy. Enjoy it.
It's brave. I'll just buy a Varsity Blues jersey James Vanderbeek's website instead.
Perfect.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we have a bit of a Juan Soto update. If we want to keep talking a little baseball, and the Padres did make another signing yesterday. Not the big splash, but another, you know, piece that you're going to see in Peoria in a couple of months.
Peoria piece.
We can talk about the Peoria piece when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Got some interesting comments, and you know, again, that's what this show is for, man. This is three buddies sitting around trying to parse it all out with you guys every day. Don't know the answer, but I've seen a couple of responses of, you know, if the Dodgers go out and get Soto and Burns, I'm not watching baseball anymore. Look, that is your prerogative. There's nothing that's going to get me to stop watching baseball. Honestly, like I'll watch it till the day I die. There's no question. Does it suck sometimes? Yeah. Is it rough to watch that team continue to add superstars? Of course, especially after winning a World Series. Yes, it sucks. It's terrible. It doesn't mean I am going to give up on the game I love so much. But I have seen a couple of people saying they're skirting the edges here with the deferrals, and there is an element of it not feeling fair because Paul, you just made a really good point. If Elon Musk walks into a McLaren dealership today and says, "I want a McLaren," they say, "Here's the keys. We'll sort out the paperwork later.
You're good for it.
You're good." And he's like, "I got 15 minutes, but I want that McLaren. Done. Here's the keys. Here's the manuals inside. You know how to drive it. Have a ball.
Your people, call our people. We'll get the money squared away."
If Paulie walks into the McLaren dealership today and says, "I want a McLaren," or me or Ben, and they say, "Yeah, no. What did you make last year? No. What's your credit? No. Not happening." Right? They're able to prove, they're able to hold up the numbers to say, this is what we have. This is what we have in escrow. This is what's gaining interest every year. The rumor is they'll pay for Shohei's entire contract in about 3 years, which is what a baseball insider told me the day they signed him, that he knew this is what they're doing. They will be able to pay it off in 3 years, which is really smart business at the end of the day. But you have to have the player that's willing to say, yes, pay me $700, but give me $60 up front. You know, you have to have that player. It takes a special type of player. He was that player, and that set them up.
I don't know that the Dodgers couldn't afford it. If he wanted to be paid
now,
then they would pay him now, you know, and he was willing to take it later. Ultimately, a lot is made about the deferrals, but there's a real value to all of those contracts that they will be paying. They are paying right now. They're paying it into escrow. To me, that's not the big deal. This is a case of kind of the rich get richer. The better the Dodgers do, the more the players want to come there, the more money, the more fans, the more money they're getting from all over the world, the easier it is for them to buy players. It feels like a snowball rolling down the hill and just gaining more snow, and like nothing's going to stop this snowball. But the catch-22, of course, is what's the alternative? You want them to just pocket all that money that they're making? They're not going to stop me.
I said yesterday, that's what would be bad for baseball.
But yes, I would like them
to
just pocket
it. If they don't sign Juan Soto, it's not like they're going to stop making money immediately. They're
right.
going to continue to make truckloads of money. So the alternative is either spend it on players or just pocket it in some, you know, giant investment, you know, Guggenheim account somewhere, you know, where it's going to, you know, collect electronic
billions
dust.
Of dollars
like the
of
Yankees
interest.
Of I mean, old that went out and bought all the talent that the Dodgers are doing now. Like the Yankees of old, they wouldn't have been the Yankees if they had a bottom third payroll every single year.
That's exactly right. It sucks. I hate it. I get it. But we had a great comment from our buddy Matthew. He says, I respectfully completely disagree. Dominant teams in other sports, as we talked about earlier, they're impressive because they built teams better than peers with the same financial constraints. Allowing a few teams to operate differently because ownership has crazier wealth than the rest is absurd. I think inherently, Matthew, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's inherently, I can't argue against that point. But it's not going to change. And I think that's the frustrating part for fans. You have that Ken Rosenthal audio, Paulie,
yes.
that I sent you earlier. Eric Kratz, former big leaguer, was asking him about, I think specifically, the Cleveland Guardians and why they're not spending right now. And they have a very, very wealthy owner. And that was a team that was, you know, you could say on the cusp last year. They've been on the cusp and the brink many, many times. They've had some great players in Cleveland. They are a team, Ben, that needs a Juan Soto type. They are a team that needs a Corbin Burns type. They are a team that needs... You name it, man. They need to add to that good young core and that good manager that they have and that great fan base. Will they do it?
Salary cap. You just said about the Guardians not really being able to do too much. If we have a salary cap, everyone wants the salary cap to keep the Dodgers down. Would Guardians have to sell their team and leave the city of Cleveland if we got the salary floor? Because if that's the case... Then, okay, then you can cry pity for the Guardians. But if they would still be able to come under that, like, in that where the floor is of a salary cap, then they have the money to spend it right now.
Well, Eric, first of all, the way I just described that scenario, that's the way they are operating right now. I'm not saying whether that's the right thing to do. I would like to see more spending by a lot of teams, and the Guardians are one of them. But let's face it. In reality, they aren't in the same type of market as Los Angeles, so we cannot expect them to spend at the same level, no matter how wealthy their owners are. The revenues just don't support it. Now, the cap question is really complicated, but you're right. If a cap was instituted, it would be accompanied by a floor. And I don't know that the union is ever going to agree to this kind of thing. They want the free market system. My point on a cap would be, okay, I get why the players don't want it. Free market is what all players should want in every sport. At the same time, is there a number, a percentage of the revenue, where the players would be more intrigued? And if the owners want a cap, usually these things, it's 50 to 55% of the revenue goes to the players. Well, maybe the players get a little bit more in baseball because they're agreeing to it. I don't know how this is going to go down in the next couple of years. The agreement expires after the 2026 season, December 1st, 2026. I'm not saying the players should take a cap, but if the owners are going to keep pushing this, all right, push the limits here. Give us 60%. Give us 65%. The owners would never do that, but maybe there is a number where the players would be willing to say that works. Now, the problem with this whole thing is that the players don't trust the owners to report their revenues properly, and that's not going to get off the ground. So if the owners push for a cap, what I see coming is a work stoppage, and that would be the worst thing for this sport at this time. We've had something of a renaissance with the pitch clock and some other innovations that have come about in recent years. We've got some great star players. A work stoppage after 26, well, you'd be cutting your own throat.
You and Ken actually echoing something I was arguing earlier this week. If you were ever going to put a some sort of salary cap in baseball, the only way it's going to work, and I'm talking to the owners out there right now of Major League Baseball. You're going to have to make it hurt for like 10 years.
For yourselves. Yeah.
For the first 10 years, you are really going to do poorly because it's going to be so high. And the floor is going to be so high that the current players are going to do so well that they're going to have no choice but to say yes.
Correct.
And then after that, maybe the number starts trickling down to the point where you start doing better. But you can always count on players going, hey, I only am playing for the next 5 to 10 years. I am going to do so well let's under this new CBA.
Screw those
that I'm cashing
guys.
In, and we'll let the future players pay for what I'm going to get right now. And that's the only way in my mind you're going to ever get the union to agree to the salary cap. They're going to be falling over themselves to say yes, because it's such a good deal for them in the short term. And the pain doesn't come for years on down the line when the owners will start making back what they are losing on the early deal.
How do you get the owner, how do you get Guggenheim to sign off on this? How do you get the Yankees or the Mets or
Cohen? Now owners can afford to think, 20, 25 years down the line.
Yeah, it stays in the family.
Guggenheim stays in the family. You go, this is going to ultimately be good for me. My bottom line in 20 years will be better because of it. But they're going to have to accept short-term pain to get it done. And anything less is not even a, don't even discuss it. It's not even a starter. As Ken Rosenthal said, just the union's never going to go for it. You're going to have a work stoppage. It's bad for everybody. Bad for everybody if we end up with a work stoppage.
Terrible. Horrible. You set the game back a decade every time you do it, pretty much. And baseball's not in a position. Again, he did talk about a little bit of a renaissance in baseball. I feel it. I see it. Certainly see it at Petco Park. And that's another question entirely. What is our local ball club going to do this season? And you brought up Ben. Made another acquisition. Yeah, I did see some people lauding this move that AJ Preller, again, one of those sneaky under the radar moves that could pay off, but certainly doesn't blow your hair back today.
And we will get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I think you need to keep in mind the offseason is not a race.
No, it's not. It's a race for players if you want them and you think you can get them and. But
ultimately, if it's smarter to wait and you think you can get the better players later, getting players early is not better than getting players later. You just eventually have to get the players that you want to put together. I understand when the Dodgers introduced Blake Snell on the same day that the Padres signed Jonathan Perlaza, the narrative is going to be, oh, look, the Dodgers are spending freely. The Padres are going on the cheap. You have to wait until the offseason is done, and then you evaluate it in its totality. What do we know about Jonathan Perlaza? The Padres signing him to a minor league contract with an invitation to spring training. Played for the Hanwha Eagles in the KBO, Korean baseball organization, last year, where he hit 275 with 24 home runs. What have you heard, Woods? Anything other than those raw numbers from Perlaza?
Was a pretty highly touted prospect. I think he's 26 years old, if I understand correctly. And, went over to kind of reignite his career in the KBO and has done so. And now is getting a look from a big league team. That's essentially all I know. Good power, and got a nice swing, man. I watched a little clip of him yesterday and went, oh, okay, that looks pretty good to me. But, again, one of those guys that's going to get in there and try to compete for a spot on the bench, potentially, maybe even a starting outfielder. Is he outfielder?
Yeah.
Outfielder, yeah. Not exactly, like I said, doesn't blow your hair back, but again, one of those sneaky under-the-radar moves that you need to have.
Ha-Sung Kim was a 30 home run hitter over 300 in that league, so you do have to deflate the numbers a little bit. Now, if he's anything like Ha-Sung Kim, you'd be very happy with that signing. That was a terrific signing out of the KBO by AJ Preller, and he has generally done well in tapping not only the Asian market for Asian talent, but guys who have gone over there, like Nick Martinez. Yeah. Robert Suarez came over as well. He has done a good job of scouting. His scouts have done a good job of identifying guys that they think have the skills that will translate to Major League Baseball. I am not predicting giant things out of Jonathan Perlaza, but he's another option to throw out there along with Oscar Gonzalez, who will likely be, competing for a spot on the roster at spring training. And who knows? Blake Snell may face Jonathan Perlaza in a big spot at some point, and
maybe not.
Perlaza may hit a home run, or maybe we'll never see him on the big league roster at all.
Again, I don't want to go as far as to say, it's roster filler, but that's, you need guys. You need guys. You have spots, and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle one time. And certainly something that the Padres have been able to do. They've been able to catch lightning in a bottle with arms. They've been able to catch lightning in the bottle with bats. I would say Jerickson Profar caught lightning in a bottle last year. I'd say Jackson Merrill caught lightning in a bottle last year. You got to keep it going. But this guy, he's 26 years old. It's not like he's a super super old, super young. He's kind of right there in the middle, and again, doesn't do much for me right now.
I'm hoping we're set up for a busy and exciting winter meetings next week.
Yeah.
As we told you yesterday, our Sammy Levitt's going to be there every day with reports from Dallas. But Juan Soto, according to the reports, and you know, Scott Boras was there with Blake Snell yesterday, so he was asked a lot of questions and said that currently in the process of eliminating teams, and then reports came out later in the day that could be by the end of the week that he has a decision. If that happens
this week,
end of this week, that happens before the winter meetings, that should ramp up the kind of excitement and the intensity of negotiations with other players at the winter meetings.
I know nobody in baseball would ever admit it. Do you think there's any chance Major League Baseball reached out to Soto and Boras, like, get this done before the winter meetings? We've talked about how that's got to be the first domino to fall before any other significant moves can get made.
You can't really tell Juan Soto to rush the most important decision of his life.
They certainly won't be mad at it, though.
But no. Look at what Boras is already doing with his clients.
But they're all going faster.
They're going fast.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something in the next few days. All right, we'll come back. I've done it. I've gone through my Spotify Wraps.
And it's best day of the year.
Delightful as you'd imagine.
Oh,
next on The Fan.